Grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor and author Tom Rainier, he tells a story of when he was growing up, and he grew up in a small town. He tells a story of when he was growing up and a country club came into his small town. It opened up somewhere close by. And if you have an image of country clubs in your head, don't know exactly what that is, but the stereotype tends to bring up these sort of ritzy places where rich people go so that they can be separated from everybody else or something like that. If that's what you think when you think country club, this was not that. It was something very different. It was a sort of a privately owned, smaller place. And it was in this small town. It was trying to make a buck off of people by offering like a pool and some amenities and stuff like that. But Rainier was starstruck. He was starstruck by the place. It was kind of amazing to him. This place had all kinds of stuff that he could never do before. There was no public pool in town. And so with this place, he could go swimming whenever he wanted to. He could go up to the dining area, and he could order a hamburger if he wanted to. He could even have his birthday party at one of the meeting rooms that was around the pool. So it was a big deal for him. And all this for a very small monthly fee. It was a couple bucks a month for his family, something that they could afford. And this is what he says. He says, I began to learn a lesson. Membership means perks. Membership means privileges. Membership means others will serve me. Just pay the going rate, and you can have other people take care of you while you enjoy a life of leisure. Today, you don't even have to be part of a country club to get that impression of membership, right? Just drive down 140 and think about the stores that you'll pass. Pass Ace Hardware, you'll pass Schnucks, you'll pass QT, you'll pass Walgreens, and all of them have some kind of a program where you become something like a member and you get perks as a result. And you learn the same lesson. Membership means perks. Here in the church, we've used that terminology, that word membership, for years. Long before it was a thing for retail stores. You become a member of Zion. And unfortunately, I think what happens pretty often in churches is that these understandings of membership that we get from the outside world, from retail stores and places like that, they bleed into our understanding of church membership. Because you can find them everywhere, right? Retail stores, health clubs, golf courses. It changes our understanding of what happens here. We get this idea of pay the dues and enjoy the perks. Being a part of a church is something totally different. The last weekend in July, this year, what we're going to do is have confirmation. And we're going to have a special service on Saturday afternoon to bring these young people into the church, right? They're in the church, of course, by baptism, but they'll become full-fledged members by their confession of faith at confirmation. So what we're going to do is take July and leading up to confirmation, talk about what church membership is and what it means and how the gospel informs that. The gifts that are given to us by God. And when you think about it, even just for a minute, you realize that it is completely backwards of all the other places where you have membership in the world. See, when you join the church, and I mean the church, right? Capital C, the church, as in the church on earth, the universal church. When you join the church, that's when you come to faith. You join the church usually by baptism. You're brought into the faith by the Holy Spirit. That's how you join the church on earth. And that's where you get all the benefits, right? Right up front. You get all the benefits right at the very beginning. You don't have to pay your membership dues. You don't have to buy a certain amount of products or whatever in order to get a certain perk or something like that. In fact, you don't have to do anything at all. You don't have to pay anything at all to get the perks of being a part of the church. Because right up front, you get baptized into the death and resurrection of your Lord. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. Right up front, you get the one benefit that really matters, right? The promise that God says, though you die, yet shall you live. Right up front and completely free of charge, you get forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And let's be honest, isn't that all you could ever need, really? Turns out, according to God, the answer is no. That's not it. That's not all you could ever need. And by the way, it's not all that God gives you either when you become a part of the church. See, when you're baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus, you're also baptized not only into the church, but you are baptized into a church. In other words, a local congregation. You're baptized into this small corner of the kingdom of God that you will inhabit, which, by the way, is fully and completely the church, fully and completely the body of Christ, in every way that the universal church on all the earth is the body of Christ, is the church. In other words, today we're going to talk about body of Christ. That's what it is for this week. It'll be different ways that the Bible talks about church every week throughout July. This week it's the body of Christ. And if you look through the Bible's going to use the body of Christ language in two ways. One way that it'll use the body of Christ language is to talk about the universal church on the whole earth. The other way that it'll use it, and we're going to see that today, is that it's going to be talking about a specific congregation, a local congregation. The local congregation, what that means is, the local congregation isn't just a foot. Zion Bethalto, the church in Corinth, we're not just feet, we're the body of Christ, the whole thing, completely and fully. And when you become part of the body of Christ at a local congregation here at Zion Bethalto or wherever it is, that means that you are brought into unity with the body of Christ. In other words, unity with the other members. Now, this week, we're going to be looking not only at this biblical way of talking about the body of Christ, and each week we're going to do this. We'll look at one way of talking about the church, and we'll also look at the gift that that implies that God gives through the church. This week, we're talking about the body of Christ, and the gift that God grants us as members of the body of Christ is unity. That's our gift for today, unity in the body. And it didn't look that way in Corinth when Paul wrote this letter. In fact, it didn't look that way in Corinth at all. See, the church in Corinth is one of Paul's problem children in the churches that he planted. There was all kinds of stuff that was going on in the church of Corinth that shouldn't have been. There were factions, there was sin, there was arrogance, there was exclusion. And in the midst of all that, listen to what Paul writes from our reading for today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Now you, Corinth, you, Zion Bethalto, are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I mean, did you catch that? That's important stuff. Despite the divisions, despite the exclusion, despite the sin and the squabbles and the factions and everything that was going on, Paul looks at the church in Corinth and he says, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Why? Because unity is a gift. Unity is something that is given by God. It's not something that's earned. It's not something that's paid for. It is something that's given externally to us by God. In fact, because it's given to us from outside, it is more deep and powerful than any other unity you could possibly think of. Because what it comes from is what Paul says, drinking of the same spirit. It comes from the blood of Christ, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It comes from having Jesus as our head. It comes from the creator of everything. It comes from God himself, the unity that we enjoy. In fact, it's becoming increasingly clear, I think, when we look outside of the church, that this is the only place that you can find true, deep unity. Whether we're good at showing it or not, this is the only place that you can find true, deep unity. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and what the person said to me was, they'd been reading some Max Lucado, and we were talking about it, and the person said to me, you know, it's just nice to hear some good news for a change, as opposed to turning on the TV and everything that I hear when I turn that on. I mean, isn't that the truth? And what are the things that you hear other than stories about how divided we are? Right? Safety versus freedom, left versus right, race versus race, whatever it is. I mean, this weekend, well, a lot of us couldn't gather, but boy, did you step outside last night? It was noisy last night, wasn't it? That was kind of cool. So we didn't really get to gather like we usually would on Independence Day, but I'll tell you, we got out into our driveways last night and we celebrated something important. We celebrated the country that we live in and the government that God has placed over us. Paul himself, in Romans 13, says that those things are a gift from God. He says that we should celebrate those things. We're right to celebrate what God has given us. It is a great blessing. The nation that God has put over us, the governing authorities that God uses to maintain justice and order, safety in our lives, it is a great blessing. And yet, even as we celebrate this nation, even as we celebrate these great gifts of God, we turn on the news or we look out into it, and what we see is division and discord and disunity. We see a whole bunch of lines in the sand. Today's readings remind us that God crosses all of those lines that we put in the sand. The love of God cuts through all the division and all of the discord and all of the disunity to bring together people who couldn't possibly be brought together otherwise. I mean, Paul mentions it right here in our reading. He said, who's in the body of Christ? Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, people of totally different ends of the ethnic spectrum, totally different ends of the economic spectrum. They're all brought together as one in the body of Christ. In fact, all the way back to Abraham in Genesis 12, God was talking about through you, in other words, through your offspring, through Jesus, all families of the earth will be blessed. And when Jesus talks about the crucifixion in John chapter 12, what he says is, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. That's unity. That's bringing together. And it's exactly what happened, by the way, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus sacrifices his body on the cross, it means people from all nations and all tribes and all tongues and all languages might become his body, might become the church, people united with him and with him as our head. We are one body on earth. We are one body here in Bethalto, no matter what our political views are, no matter what our personal problems are, no matter where we live or who we like or what we do in our spare time or how much we get along with one another, even inside the church. Despite our age, despite our race, despite our tribe, despite our language, we are united in one body as the body of Christ, in the only one who can bring true unity to people, the only one who can cross all the lines that you and I draw in the sand, the only one who can really actually bring people together by drinking of the same Spirit. We have the gift of unity in Christ. We are the body of Christ. No matter how much disunity and division you hear about out there or how much disunity and division you hear about in here, the fact is we are united by someone bigger than ourselves and bigger than our personal squabbles. And we need that. We need that as individual members of the body. We need to be part of a community of faith. We need God's word preached. We need the sacraments distributed. We need those because that's how our faith is sustained. We need the body of Christ as members of the body. And as church members, as members of the body of Christ, that means a lot of things for us, but I'm going to give you two this morning. One thing that it means for us is that we all have a function. We all have a place. We all have something that we bring to the body of Christ. And by the way, that's exactly the opposite of the country club thing, right? Remember what we talked about at the beginning? The country club kind of mentality where you pay the dues and you get the perks? Totally the opposite of that. Here, you get the perks, all of them right up front. And it's paid for completely by somebody else. You get connected right up front, united with other members of the body, and Paul says that each one of us has a function, a purpose that we're called for, called to fulfill within the body of Christ. That's another gift, by the way. It's not our gift for this morning, so I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but we get the gift of purpose in the body of Christ as well. I mean, think about that. The fact that we all have a function, that cuts both ways in the body of Christ. It cuts both ways. Think about this. We're brought into this body by God, which means we are a gift to the body, and the body is a gift to us. We're given the gift of purpose. Now, on the one hand, that means that if the members of the body don't fulfill their purpose, then the whole body is affected. The entire body is affected. You ever broken an arm or something like that and tried to do a job? Or even broken fingers or something like that? Especially if you have a job where you work with your hands or you write or you type or something. I mean, even a small injury can affect how your body works and how your body performs. But on the other hand, think about this. Think about an Olympic athlete, somebody whose body is functioning at, you know, top performance, right? Everything's working together as it should, completely in harmony. Amazing things can happen. Stuff you didn't even know was possible can happen. And this body that you're a part of, that you're a member of, we have the God of all creation as our head. It's kind of an amazing invitation to be part of something really, really exciting. Second thing is this, and this is what Paul talks about here towards the end of our reading. Our unity is so thorough and so complete. We are so deeply connected to one another that when one part of the body is joyful, the whole body is joyful. That's why we do things like pray for anniversaries. That's why we do things like thank God for the birth of children. That's why we celebrate graduations and celebrate retirements and celebrate these milestones in our life, because we're so united as the body of Christ that we share each other's joy. And we also mourn together. And that means on All Saints Day, we ring the bell and we say the names of the people that we've lost. That means we pray for people who are sick and who are hurting and who are in pain. That means we reach out to our fellow members and we share and we comfort and we grieve as the body of Christ for those who are lost. I mean, don't forget that. That's an important thing, especially at the very difficult times in your life. See, being part of the body of Christ, being part of this body of Christ, being part of your church here means that you are never alone in your joys and you are never alone in your sorrows. Being part of the body of Christ here means that you always have purpose in your life. And being part of the body of Christ means that you never are without hope. That's what being a member of a church means. That's what being a member of the body of Christ means. See, being a member of our church means that you always have people who are with you. Being a member of our church means that you always have a purpose to which you can aspire and which drives you. Being a member of our church means that you always have people who need you and who you need. Being a member of our church means you always have something that unites you with the people in these pews, no matter what, and no matter how many millions of things might be driving you apart, you always have something that brings you together in Christ. Being a member of the church means that you always have Christ as your head. You always have salvation as your hope, and you always have God's word, God's sacrament, his church, the body of Christ, as your support. To him alone be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.